Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. We read this verse last week. Chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Two things that serve as a foundation in our Christian life is an understanding of faith and an understanding of repentance. And if we don't understand these, we're not going to grow in Christian maturity. In fact, we've probably all noticed that some Christians never grow up. You know, they remain babes in Christ, even though they may technically have given their life to the Lord 30 years ago or 10 years ago. And that's not good. Hebrews 5, if we just kind of go back to the last part of the previous chapter, we see that really part of the message of Hebrews is grow up, move on. God has a lot for us, but we can't stay as babes. For example, here it says, "Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So what he's saying here is that many of us, we should be teaching God's word to others. But instead, we really need to be taught again. And we need to get off of just the milk. Remember how a baby, a lot of you moms especially, know that at the beginning, babies need milk. That's all they want. That's all they can really digest, right? But after a while, they need to start having solid food, don't they? And by the time we're grown up, we like solid food a lot, don't we? Maybe too much at times, you know? But a lot of times, we are still like babes in Christ. Acts 20, verse 21, it says, "Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of two things, of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Two things, faith and repentance. Very important for all of us, especially at the beginning of our Christian life, and really throughout our whole Christian life. Because without them, we will not see the reality of the living promises that we've been talking about. Last week, we looked at faith. We saw that faith is necessary. We saw that God gives to each one of us a measure of faith to begin with. We saw that faith is not just an emotion. It's a trust that we have in Him. We saw that faith needs to be exercised. And we also saw that biblical faith stays focused. It has to do with endurance, perseverance. And if you missed last week, I strongly encourage you to listen to the podcast, because that is faith and repentance. They are part of the foundation of our Christian life. So today we want to talk about repentance. Just like faith, it is absolutely essential. And I'm going to say about repentance what I said about faith in one short teaching. We can't explain all about faith. We can't explain all about repentance. But I'm trying to make this very simply, what is repentance? And could we be missing out on that whole area in our Christian life? So what is repentance? Literally, it means to stop going in one direction and start going in another direction. That's what repentance means. I used to think repentance was putting ashes and dressing in poor clothes and just that type of thing. And that's really, repentance may involve that, perhaps. I'm not so sure. But really, biblical repentance means to stop going in one direction and to turn around and start going in another direction. So there's two parts to repentance. I'm making this pretty simple here. First, there's acknowledgement that I have been going the wrong way. I've been going the wrong way. I've made a mess of things. I have been wrong. I can't tell God how to run my life or the universe. And a lot of people think they can. God, I want you to do this for me. And by the way, can you do this over here? And can you do that? And I really need you to do this. I really do. All of a sudden, it's almost like we're in the place of God, and God's our servant. Do this. Do that, God. Do this. No. Repentance means acknowledging that I can't tell God how to run my life. I admit that He knows more than I do. Now, I know we all know that up here, but sometimes the way we act, we think we know more than God. We've got to stop that. That's part of acknowledging that I've been going the wrong way. I say, I've been living my life in my way. And though I may acknowledge God and I may want His blessing, I ultimately decide what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. That has to stop. Repentance means acknowledging that my pride keeps me from hearing the voice of God. It's acknowledging that I've been angry, I've been unforgiving, I've been resentful, I've been bitter toward God and others. So it's an acknowledgement that I am going the wrong way. Now that's very important, because a lot of times people, when they come to know the Lord, they act as if they're doing God a favor. God, guess what? I finally decided to be on your side, and I know you've got to be really happy because you can use me in a marvelous way, and I'm so gifted, and I've got so many things going for me. God, this is your happy day. No, it's not that way at all, is it? We've messed up, and we have to acknowledge that. And the second part of this, the first part is I stop doing all that. The second part is that I turn around and I choose to walk in God's way. Now, what a lot of Christians do, they'll say, I need to stop the way I've been living. But they're not always choosing God's way. That it may be just a different way. No, we've got to choose God's way. His way. That's what biblical repentance is. So it means I lay down my expectations, my dreams, my opinions, my preferences, even my rights. God, I have a right to da 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 da. I lay it all down before Him and I say, Lord, I submit to You now. I submit to Your will. I submit to Your plan for my life. I submit to Your path that You have for me and Your purposes for me. And Lord, also, I believe that You know best. Everything I know is just a fraction of what You need, of what You know. If I know this much, You know this whole room full. I've got to acknowledge that. I have decided to learn from Him. Jesus said, learn from me. I choose a life of obedience to Him. Now, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. but still, that's the life that I've chosen. And get this, I obey even when I don't understand, or even when I don't like it, or even when I disagree. What are some examples? When we come to know Christ, forgiveness is an example. You know, at first we say, oh yeah, forgiveness, yeah, I'm in favor of that. But what if there's a person in your life that you can't forgive? Jesus says, I want you to forgive. And you might say, I don't want to forgive. I don't like it. I disagree with it. But you know what? We do it anyway because we know that that's His path. Rejoicing. The Scriptures tell us to rejoice. Sometimes we don't feel like rejoicing. I want to complain today. Well, wait a minute. When we choose the other way, we choose to begin to rejoice even if we don't feel like it. Now, again, I know that sometimes it's hard to do that. It's hard to forgive. But the first step in forgiving, for example, is I want to forgive. Lord, will you help me? And He will. And by the way, just where no one misunderstands, forgiving someone who maybe has hurt you very much doesn't mean that you have to trust them again. It means that your heart's going to be clean on the inside. That's the difference. Giving. You know, some point in our Christian life, we come to the place where we keep running across scriptures or hear it and preach it. Oh, you know, God's called us to be generous. You know, He calls us to give. He calls us to tithe. Lord, I can't do that. I disagree with that. Well, wait a minute. It's not a matter of whether or not we agree, because we've already said, I don't know it all. God knows better than I do. And I will trust Him. Because many things in the Christian life are like paradoxes. They don't make sense. Like if you want to be great, you need to be a servant. If you want to, you give in order to receive. They don't make sense. By the way, that's why faith is important. But repentance means I'm going to trust God even when I don't understand in my walk of obedience. Here's another one. The Scriptures say we are not to give insult for insult. We are not to take revenge. In other words, we don't get even. But sometimes when we first start our walk with Christ, someone hurts us, something happens, and we go to that default mode that says, oh, they hurt me, I'm going to get even now. Wait a minute, that's not Jesus' way. And so when we repent, we turn around, we decide to do it Jesus' way. His way is bless instead of curse. I know that's kind of, we may not understand it. We might not even believe it at times. But we do it in faith But Jesus talked to them about their lack of compassion, their hardness of heart, their greed, their desire to be noticed by men. And they refused to listen. And he said, basically, even though they were religious, they weren't repentant. And God's blessing is upon those who live a life of repentance. And we're going to talk about this in a few more minutes, but repentance, actually, there's two levels. One is when we first give our life to the Lord and we say, Lord, I want to start following you. I receive your gift of eternal life. I ask you to come into my life. Repentance is necessary. Some people, they like the idea of eternal life. Oh, yeah, so what do I have to do eternal life? Oh, just pray a prayer? Okay, I'll pray a prayer. It's more than that. It also involves repentance. You have to decide to turn around and go the other direction. And that's why a lot of times people who sometimes, maybe they've prayed a prayer, nothing happened. Well, that's because it wasn't accompanied with faith and repentance. But it's not just initially that we have this repentance, but also it's a lifestyle that we constantly, when we see ourselves going the wrong way, we turn around and go the way that God, we go on His path. Why is repentance so necessary? First of all, repentance releases God's favor and grace into our life. What is His grace? It's His favor, it's His blessing, it's His strength, it's His power. Now notice I say it's His power, His strength. You know, it's not something I do on my own. In fact, He gives this to us even when we don't deserve it. So when I say, I need grace for this situation, what am I saying? I need God's power and His strength and His wisdom and maybe His love, maybe His joy to be able to walk through this situation. That's His grace. But did you know repentance is what releases God's grace into our life? And when we have God's grace, then we begin to grow and we start learning from Him. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is Paul writing. And he says, starting verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I've been entrusted. He's been entrusted with the gospel. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Remember, Paul, before he gave his life to Jesus, what was he doing? Persecuting Christians, having them thrown in jail. He was responsible for some of them even being killed, you know? And he says, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. He's saying that because even though I was all this horrible, these horrible things, that grace and mercy became abundant because he decided to follow the Lord. And then in verse 15 it says, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. You know what kind of amazes me about this verse? He didn't say, I was the foremost of sinners. He says, I am. And he said, because Jesus came to, He came to save sinners. And verse 16, yet for this reason, that he saw himself as the foremost of sinners, I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who believe in him for eternal life. Do you see that? That he saw himself. He knew who he was. He didn't think, oh, I'm the great apostle. I know everything. Everyone should listen to me. No, he saw himself as the foremost of sinners. And every one of us needs to kind of see us that way. We should be saying, I'm the foremost of sinners. No, you're not. I am. Someone else says, no, I am. For that reason, we receive grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Repentance. Irma, there's one more verse there, but I'm going to skip that one, okay? Okay. Repentance also leads to life. Now, this is Zoe life. Remember, we've talked about this several times in the last year or so. In the Greek, there's two Greek words that describe life. One is bio, like biography or biology, you know, it's the study of life. It refers to our breathing, our mind working, we can move, I'm eating, that's life. But there's another word for life in Greek, Zoe, which means life that's overflowing. It's flowing with blessing. It's flowing that, you know, you're enjoying life. It's abundance. You know, some people, they have bio, but they don't have Zoe. In fact, the scriptures say the only way you can really have Zoe life is knowing Jesus and walking with him. That's the only way we can have Zoe life. So repentance leads to Zoe life. Acts 11, verse 18. I think we have it, right? Okay, coming up. Okay. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to Zoe life. What they were talking about was all of a sudden, God started pouring his spirit upon all the non-Jews, the Gentiles. So they had a big conference in Jerusalem. And all the Jewish leaders were saying, what do we do with this? Because, you know, we Jews, we've always thought we kind of had the corner on God, but yet everyone, all these Gentiles are coming to the Lord. And they concluded, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also Acts 3, verse 19. It says, therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That word, Greek, the Greek word for refreshing, I won't even say the word because it's about that long and you probably wouldn't remember anyway. But you can remember this. That Greek word means an inner peace, an inner rest, a refreshment. It relates to blessing and grace. And it says it comes from what? The presence of the Lord. Repentance brings us into the presence of the Lord to where we have those times of refreshing. That should be our life story, is that we are constantly getting waves of times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Repentance does that. That's what it says. And then finally, repentance leads to salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And you can read the whole passage a little bit later, but it says, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. And if you read the whole passage, it's talking about there's a sorrow that leads to repentance. But there's also a sorrow that leads to condemnation, frustration, death. So what's the difference? Well, many people, they make big mistakes. They feel very bad about it. They may cry. They may kind of have lots of regrets. But if they don't repent, and remember, repent is not just being sorry for where you're going, but actually making the decision to turn around and go the other direction. Unless you do that, that sorrow is just going to start eating at you. It's not going to produce any fruit. So there's got to be sorrow that comes with repentance. If it's true repentance, it turns us around to all of a sudden we're receiving that Zoe life. We're receiving times of refreshment from the Lord. So repentance leads to salvation, times of refreshing, to Zoe life, and it also brings grace and mercy into our lives. Repentance is an essential part of God's message to mankind. John the Baptist, Matthew 3, verse 2, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Well, what is he really saying? Repent. He's saying, stop going the way you're going and turn around because the kingdom of God's about here and you want to be a part of it. And then a little bit later, especially when some of the religious leaders came, they wanted to be baptized. And he said, therefore, bring fruit in keeping with your repentance. Because true repentance involves changes that you can see. That was John the Baptist. Jesus often talked about repentance. In Luke 5, 32, he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That was what Jesus came for, to recall sinners to repentance. Paul, Acts 26. And I could probably mention a lot more, but Acts 26, 17 and 18. It says, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness. There it is, that kind of turning around to light, and from the dominion of Satan to darkness. So we go from darkness to light, from Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who've been sanctified by faith in me. And then verse 20. It says, next one there, verse 20, says, I think it's here. Yeah. But he kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem, this is Paul, and then throughout the whole region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. And it's got to be part of our message too. You know, Jesus, before he left his disciples, said in verse Luke, in chapter 24 of Luke, verse 47, he said, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem, because repentance brings life. Acts 2. Verse 38, it says, I'm almost there. It says, Peter said to them, this is on the day of Pentecost, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise. His son counts slowness. He's talking about when he's coming back. But is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And just where you know it's all through the scriptures, let's go to Revelation chapter 2. It mentions it quite a bit. But it's verse 4, it says, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and we will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Basically, all this is talking about you leave your old life and you embrace the new life that God wants to give you. That is repentance. And again, repentance is necessary at the very beginning of our Christian life when we decide to walk with Jesus, but it also has to be an attitude of repentance that stays within us continually, that whenever you find yourself getting off the path, you immediately turn around and go back. I want us to ask ourselves a question. Have I been missing a very important part of the Christian walk? Repentance? In other words, have I been trying to live the Christian life without really repenting? In other words, I've kind of embraced the idea of God's blessing, eternal life, or I like when He answers prayer. It's more than that. It's deciding to submit to God. Is there something missing in my foundation that has kept me from maturing in Christ? It could be repentance. If you find yourself, you know, I'm basically the same as I was 5 years ago when I first gave my life to the Lord. If that's the case, we're probably missing a very important foundation. That foundation could be repentance. Without understanding and embracing repentance, we will remain babes in Christ. You know, remember Hebrews 6, verse 1, it says, two things are necessary for us to grow in maturity. We have the faith in God and repentance. I'd like for us to pray. And I'd like for us to pray a prayer of repentance. And it should be, remember, two parts. First, we acknowledge that we have not been doing it right. We haven't been always walking according to His ways. Maybe sometimes we do, but a lot of times we are not. But we need God. We need His grace. We need that Zoe life. We need those times of refreshing. And so, therefore, I choose to follow Jesus. And by the way, if you're here and you desire to begin a Christian life, I invite you to do the same. Let's pray. And I'll lead us in prayer, and you just follow along and pray silently to the Lord. Lord, we acknowledge to you that you know a lot more than we do. Lord, we acknowledge to you that we are sinners. In fact, Lord, when we start really examining ourselves, we could probably say that we're the foremost of all sinners. We have not walked in your paths. Sure, maybe we've wanted your blessing, but we've wanted to do things our way and when we want it and how we want it. So, Lord, we repent, which means we stop going in our own path and we turn around and not just pick another path, but we pick your path, Lord. We pick the road that you have for us and we submit to your will, to your purposes, to your plans for our life. And Lord, we choose to obey you. Lord, we know we'll probably fall and we'll fail, but Lord, we're going to get back up and we're going to start walking in the path that you've called us. Lord, we want to obey even when we don't understand it, even when we don't like it, even when we don't feel like it, or even we disagree with it. Because, Lord, we acknowledge that you know better than us. And Lord, we want this not just to be a one-time repentance, but Lord, we want to, every day of our life, we want to acknowledge that we cannot live our life without you, that we need you. And every day we want to submit to you in a fresh way for you to guide us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that that is the path. That's the road to times of refreshing, to Zoe life. Lord, we're not interested in sorrow and regrets. True repentance, Lord, we see is something that brings life and joy. And that's what we choose. Thank you, Lord. Amen.